Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Matthew 25, and we're focusing on verses 2 and 3. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, the word of the bridegroom, your son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to strengthen our faith in him, and may that faith flow out in lives of love toward others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are beginning a series called The End or the Beginning. We're going to be looking at these three final parables of Jesus, in which Jesus tells us about the end, and yet at the same time, he's preparing us to begin something in our lives. And when you think about the end, final day, one way to look at it is like a horror movie. You know how horror movies work, right? Starts out nice. Family's going on vacation. Gonna go to a cabin in the woods. Gonna enjoy some family time. Maybe go fishing and hiking. Starts out nice. But then the tension starts to rise. They get gas at a local convenience store, and the clerk says, "Yeah, you heard about this bad guy running around in the woods? Scary stuff." And then they get to the cabin and the lights don't work. And then they start hearing noises out in the woods. And at night, they're just huddling around like, you know, candles. And all of a sudden, the bad guy strikes. Oh, it's too late. Horror movie, right? That's what this text is like. It's like a horror movie. It starts out nice, doesn't it? It says 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, a little bit of historical context here. A Jewish wedding back in Jesus' day had three stages. You had the betrothal, right? It's where a man and a woman were engaged, and that was it. Nothing was going to separate them. And that lasted about maybe a year or so. But then the second part was the actual ceremony, and that was often held at the bride's house where they formalized their marriage. But then there was the third part, which was the wedding feast. And this was often held at the bridegroom's house. And it was often held, you know, at night, not too late. But because it was night, they needed people to light the way for them. And that's what the bridesmaids were doing here. They were waiting for the bridegroom and his bride to come to the wedding feast, and they were going to go out and light the way. Okay? Starts out nice. But then Jesus increases the tension level here. He says that five of these bridesmaids were foolish and five were wise. Some took extra oil, and some were like, "No, you know, it's not going to be that late. We'll just take what we need, and we'll be fine." But then the tension rises. There's a delay of the bridegroom. Where is he? Where is the bride? We don't know. And the night starts to go on and on. Their lamps go out. They start getting sleepy. When all of a sudden, behold, the bridegroom is coming. And they're just scrambling and they're trimming their lamps, and they light up, except the five who didn't have extra oil start sputtering immediately. And in their horror, they realize, "I can't do this." So they turn to the other bridesmaids. "Whoa, we need some of your oil." No. "We don't have enough for us and for you. You go and get some from the cellars." And so they hastily just take off into the darkness. And while they're gone, here comes the bridegroom, and they go in, doors shut. Boom. And that's it. And here come the other bridesmaids, and they're pounding on the door, desperate. Lord, Lord, let us in. And then they hear the most horrible words you can possibly imagine. I don't even know you. It's like a horror movie, isn't it? Now we know what this story is all about, right? This is about the coming of Jesus on the last day, when Jesus will come on the last day and set everything right and bring heaven to earth. And we don't want to be found outside, banging on the doors of heaven, screaming, Lord, let us in. And all he says to you and me is, I don't know you. Okay. So what's the solution to this? Well, we need to be prepared, right? Simple. Except when we think about Jesus actually coming, and that's it, and we want to be prepared, we start thinking about we need to be prepared. I need to be prepared. I need to do something in order to prepare for the Lord's coming. And so we start launching into this litany of things that we do to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. I see it right here. We come to worship, right? Come to worship, hear the Lord's word. We receive communion when it's offered. We have a devotional life, right? We dig into God's word. Maybe we attend Bible study or a small group or something. Then we give, right? We give of our time and our talents and our treasure, right? Oh, yeah, and we also pray. Sometimes we pray long. Sometimes we pray hard. Sometimes we serve others from the greatest to the least. And we live our life following Jesus and his will and his ways. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with any of this. But the issue is, if we are focused on what we do to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming, did you do enough when he finally comes? And then you start ticking down your list again. Well, did I go to enough worship? Did I study God's word enough? Did I pray long enough? Did I pray enough? Did I give enough? Did I serve others enough? Did I live a holy, righteous, obedient life enough? And you start looking at it and you start doubting, I don't know, is that going to be enough for the Lord? And then you start really doubting that you're ever going to be prepared to meet the Lord. It's like a horror movie, isn't it? So, is that it? This is just a horror movie? This text is just a horror movie and there's no way of escaping it? Maybe there is. And to kind of help clarify it, I want to point out something that happened recently. On October 31st, 2020, Sir Sean Connery passed away. And many of us know him primarily as the original screen James Bond. But he also had many other iconic roles on screen. His Academy Award-winning turn in The Untouchables. But also, as I remember, he was the father of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, right? Remember that? What a great movie. And actually, as I was reminiscing about that particular role, a scene from the movie popped into my head that I think can help us move forward. And it's where Indiana Jones is going through this deadly series of tests to try to get the Holy Grail, you know, the cup of Christ that he used at the Last Supper. And he comes to the final one, and he finds himself at the edge of this huge chasm, and there's no way to get across. There isn't. It's too cramped and it's too far a jump. He would just fall into oblivion. And so he's checking his dad's notes and he's like, wait a minute, this is a leap of faith. A leap of faith. So he just kind of steels himself, lifts up his foot, and steps off into oblivion. And his foot lands right there on a stone slab that was laid across the entire chasm, but it was hidden in plain sight. So the path forward for Indiana Jones was hidden in plain sight. Now, why do I bring this up? Because something else is going on here in this parable besides a horror movie. And we're so focused on that horror movie ending where the door is shut and you can't get in that we fail to see what's hidden in plain sight right there. And it's something right at the beginning that we just kind of read and pass by and let's get on with it, but it is so important, and it is one word. Five were wise. And how were these bridesmaids wise? They brought extra oil. Now, why would they do that? Why would they even think about bringing extra oil? Because they knew that the bridegroom would be delayed. Someone prepared them beforehand. Someone told them that this was a possibility. Someone that they had a relationship with. The bridegroom himself. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than think that we have to scramble to do everything to prepare for the Lord's coming, we trust that the bridegroom, Jesus, has already prepared us for his coming. And how does he do this? Well, he holds a wedding feast, right? Jesus, the bridegroom, he comes to save his wayward bride, sinners like you and me, unable to prepare themselves to save themselves because they're just sleeping in the darkness of sin and death. And he says, come to the feast. Come to the feast of forgiveness. Come to the feast of life and salvation. And he also prepares us by opening the door of the wedding feast of heaven himself. Here comes the bridegroom in flesh and blood, in the womb of Mary and in a manger in Bethlehem. Here comes the bridegroom, casting out demons, healing diseases, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Here comes the bridegroom, suffering under Pontius Pilate, who flogged him, who beat him, who nailed him to a cross. Here comes the bridegroom, rising from the dead and stepping out of that tomb, never to die again. And when he gives us all of this as a gift through faith in him, that's when Jesus says to you and me, I know you. I know you as my children. I know you as my disciples. I know you as my holy, righteous people. But there is one more way that Jesus prepares us for his coming, and it's he simply tells us, I am coming again. It may be delayed. It may not be at a time that you expect, but I promise I will come again. And when I do, oh, what a party it's going to be. What a feast we're going to celebrate. What a joyous occasion when the door is shut to that entire life of sin and death and evil and sorrow and brokenness, because you are with me forever. So it's in that particular way forward that Jesus then says to us, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You see, he's not telling us to add more to our holy to-do list, nor is he telling us to do some kind of spiritual sky gazing where we just stand there in life, gazing up at the heavens, hoping to see him come back the way he took off into heaven. No, he's saying watch now in the present, by asking this most important question: is anything getting in the way of your faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, have you and I become so preoccupied with how good we are, how righteous we are, how obedient we need to be for the Lord, that we don't need the extra oil of faith that trusts how good in Jesus is, how righteous he is, how his death and his resurrection forgives every single time you and I fail to obey him? I mean, are we just engaging in this litany of things to do, all of them good, the worship, the Bible study, the prayer life, the devotional life, serving, giving, all of it? Are we doing it for the purpose of his coming, that we can just lift it up to him and say, look, Jesus, look how good I was? Or do you do it solely for the purpose of drawing closer to the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Do you do all of this so that you crucify the old sinful nature, so that the righteousness of Jesus Christ rises up in you? In other words, are you preparing for the end like a horror movie, where you are terrified that you're not going to be prepared and the door is going to be shut? Or are you preparing it like it's a happy ending, where there is a wedding feast that has been prepared before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ, and all you and I get to do is enjoy it by faith now and there in eternity? Because I tell you what, that's what this parable is about, the end for the five wise bridesmaids, for those with the extra oil, those who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's just one big happy ending, a wedding feast of forgiveness and life and salvation, of heaven itself, and the guarantee that the door will never be shut. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.